Chapter 8, The Cretharac Reach, DV, minus 22 days. On the strategium of the Steadfast, nothing stirred. Commander Aloni stood alone among muted servitors, casting an eye across the scanning arrays and communications feeds. His attention was fixed on two displays in particular, the internal energy readout and the passive diffraction antenna. The first monitored how much sound and radiation was emanating from the huge starship, a curiously antique-looking dial. An illuminated display would itself contribute to light and energy pollution, with a red line that indicated the maximum threshold of the reflex shields. The needle wavered at the three-quarter mark, easily within tolerable limits, and the shields themselves were not running at full yield. Fully crewed and with its full complement of 200 legionaries, the Steadfast would struggle to conceal its whereabouts under such conditions. But with barely a skeleton attendance and only 50 space marines on board, it was running with higher scanning and maneuvering capacity than usual. Which was essential because the diffraction antenna was fixed on the plasma discharge of 34 more starship engines. One was the Wrathful Vanguard, a strike cruiser of the Imperial Fists Legion. Captain Norris and his small company were heading towards the other signals, traitor supply ships. Seven of the Orspec's contacts were convoy escorts, a pair of light cruisers, a grand cruiser, and a handful of destroyers and frigates. The traitors were cautious, one of the light cruisers moving towards the approaching 7th Legion vessel, with smaller escorts heading out to cut off the strike cruiser's retreat. The transport stayed close to the guns of the remaining cruisers in case the Wrathful Vanguard was a decoy. They were not wrong, but the traitors did not understand the nature of the other hunters waiting amongst the gas clouds of the Cretharac Reach. Warning data scrolled across several screens as the renegade ships scoured the surrounding void with deep search surveyors, seeking the other ships they knew had to be waiting amongst the stellar debris. Their sensors were turned towards the scattered dust and asteroid pockets, ideal concealment for conventional ships. They were looking in the wrong place. The Steadfast drifted closer to the convoy from the opposite direction, while the Shadow Strike approached at a perpendicular angle. The one cruiser showed nothing on the sensor displays, as was intended, leaving Aloni to trust that the other Raven Guard ship was in the right position. For that matter, it had taken some effort to persuade Norris to allow his vessel to be used as bait. The Imperial Fist's captain was risking a lot, that much was true. If the reflex-shielded ships were detected too early, then the whole plan would fail, and the Imperial Fists would face the worst of the backlash. All seemed to be going well, though. Aloni monitored the Steadfast's progress, making minute adjustments with single-attitude thrusters, nudging the starship onto a better heading as a machinist might trim away nanometers of a complex component on a las lathe. As long as the traitors made no major course corrections, the cruiser would intersect perfectly with the gaggle of lightly armed and poorly armored freight carriers. The transports had mustered from the traitor-dominated forge world at Antasic 9 and the manufactory of Capel 5642A en route to take their payloads of weapons to Karandiru. The Sons of Horus had been stretched thin over a dozen sectors by Raven Guard raids, as well as the massed assault of the Therian cohort and their Titan Legion allies through the Ueza region, forcing the convoys to rendezvous in wilderness space, like the Cretharac Reach. The beacon at Cretharac was the perfect point to bring together so many ships, and that was why the Steadfast and the other two ships had been lying in wait for nearly 40 days. As ship after ship had arrived, Aloni and the others had watched with growing amazement. They had hoped for a few vessels, but the merchant fleet that had gathered suggested a sizable reinforcement of Karandiru was being planned. It was a happy coincidence for the Loyalists, and though the enemy were too numerous for a head-on assault, it was a situation that could not be ignored. Aloni frowned. The traitor light cruiser commander was being very bold, heading straight for the Wrathful Vanguard at full speed. Evidently, the enemy captain was determined to spring the trap as quickly as possible, or perhaps believed he could defeat the strike cruiser without the aid of the other escorts. Norris had to hold his nerve and get the frigates and destroyers as far away from the main convoy as possible. The Grand Cruiser would be too laborious to counter the Raven Guard attack, and the remaining light cruiser was out of position, performing scanner sweeps of the stellar debris fields. Norris also had to hold tight on another matter. A single communication, even a narrow beam transmission, could give away the presence of the other two ships. Had the decoy ship been a Raven Guard vessel, Alonai would not be stalking the displays so assiduously. But the Imperial Fists were an unknown quantity in these circumstances. Fine fighters, Alonai knew firsthand, but not as subtle as a warrior created under the axioms of Korax. Gaze fixed on the scanner returns, Alonai watched the wrathful vanguard closely, seeking some sign of what Norris might do. It looked as though the Imperial Fists commander was going to meet the incoming light cruiser head-on, perhaps trying to force the traitor officers to commit to an attack without assistance. It was a foolhardy move by both the Imperial Fists and the Sons of Horus, a mutual match of daring and show of ferocity to scare off the other, like two hounds baring their fangs at one another. Alonai sighed. Years of war between the Legiones Astartes, and there were still those who had learned nothing. For many foes of the Emperor, the display of strength would have been enough, but this was legionaries fighting legionaries. Neither side would back down. Both ships' captains were incapable of fear and would see their threats through to actual battle. He considered whether he was being inconsiderate of Norris's expertise and underestimating the poise of the Sons of Horus commander. Both having embarked upon a course of direct confrontation, it was necessary to see through their actions to their consequence, knowing that to blink, to show a moment of weakness, could spell disaster. They were locked on a collision course, maybe literally. The commander of the Falcons, the corps comprised of the Raven Guard's remaining assault companies, thought of a third option as he watched the two opposing vessels powering towards each other, determined to end each other in a short-ranged conflagration. The Imperial Fists had been known to engage heavily in honor dueling, and the Sons of Horus were equally famed for their skill and dedication to single combat. It was entirely possible that the two commanders had, by virtue of common custom, a tacitly issued and accepted challenge between them. They would duel with starships, and to the victor would go the spoils. A flare of energy on the scanner indicated a sudden burst of thruster power. It came from the wrathful vanguard. Norris's ship burned its retros hard, swinging away from the light cruiser and flanking escorts. At first, it looked as though the Imperial Fists commander had balked at the attack, but Alonai knew better. "Praise to you, Captain," whispered Alonai as he watched the Imperial Fists turn and draw the smaller enemy ships further from the convoy. Long-range lance fire scattered returns across the display as the Sons of Horus moved into the pursuit, the spray of particles from activated void shields demonstrating that the officers of the wrathful vanguard had left it to the last moment before countering, ensuring the enemy would be committed. Checking the Steadfast's location, Alonai confirmed that his ship was almost in position. The next few minutes passed slowly as he watched his Imperial Fists allies dragging the enemy ships out of the battlesphere. Norris could have easily ordered the reactors to overpower and burned away at full speed, but instead he was staying just outside optimal range of the pursuing cruiser, trusting to the void shields to withstand the sporadic laser fire directed at them. It was canny fighting by both commanders. The Sons of Horus could not accelerate past battle speed without risking the wrathful vanguard turning and giving them a full broadside whilst they were vulnerable. But on the other hand, Norris was making sure he kept the enemy hopeful. Moving to the engineering console, Alonai activated the internal communications. "Power up! Full battle readiness!" There was no need for spoken confirmation. Almost immediately, the lights flickered to full power, and displays and indicators blazed into life all across the strategium. The spread of multicolored glows reminded Alonai of the Deliverance Day celebrations across Kiavar, when the tech priests allowed the people of the Forge World to commemorate those that had fallen to rescue the world from the tech guilds. Allowed was perhaps not the right term. The Day of Memory was enshrined in law by edict of Lord Korax as part of the agreement that had seen the Mechanicum take control of the planet. Horus's rebellion had ended that. No more Deliverance Day parades. No more celebrations of the ending of Old Night. Darkness had been brought back to the galaxy. A single whoop of a siren signaled the move to attack stance. As well as this audio warning, a recovery rune flashed across the comms of every legionary aboard. Like statues coming to life, the bridge officers waiting dormant around the edges of the Strategium powered up their suits. Eyes of yellow and red blazed into life as their auto-sensors activated. Black armored giants stepped out of the diminishing gloom. Alonai rattled off a string of commands as his lieutenants strode to their stations and servitors burbled into consciousness. His next act was to send a communication to Captain Norris.
"Gratitude, Captain. I did not know the Imperial Fists were so adept at playing the part of bait."
It took a few moments for the reply to crackle back.
"We are the Sons of Dawn, the Wall Brothers," Norris replied. "We are used to letting the foe throw themselves at us. It is nice to actually withdraw once we have their attention." "I suggest you do that, Captain. I will see you when we rendezvous with the fleet. Good hunting, Commander Alonai."
While the wrathful vanguard moved up to full power, opening the distance from the pursuing Sons of Horus as the Imperial Fists raced to get enough separation for a warp translation, the Steadfast arrowed into the heart of the enemy convoy. The power from the reflex shields diverted back into the void shield generators as the cruiser slid into range. Even now, fully revealed, it took a couple of minutes for the enemy sensors to detect the approaching ship. As the Steadfast dived down into the midst of the convoy, the Shadow Strike dropped its reflex shields and appeared about 30,000 kilometers to port on a crossing course.
"All batteries, open fire!"
snapped Alonai as the main guns came into range.
"Targets, free!"
The Sons of Horus Grand Cruiser was turning ponderously towards the suddenly revealed Raven Guard ships, too far away to prevent the pair of void predators slicing into the transports. Missiles, plasma, and shells ripped into the virtually unprotected freighters, while sporadic, ineffectual fire from enemy defense turrets splashed harmlessly against the warship's fully active shields. Blossom after blossom of exploding gas and plasma charted the course of the two hunters, one cutting down through the mass of cargo haulers, the other moving along the length of the convoy. The enemy light cruiser turned sharply about, but with the other escort so out of position, its commander was reluctant to face a pair of enemy vessels single-handed. The Sons of Horus could do nothing as the Raven Guard turned together, broadsides and dorsal weapons still blazing, and blasted a path back out of the fleet. For some, it might have been difficult to withdraw from the battle without once laying a shot upon the warships of the Traitor Legion, but Alonai was well-versed in the axioms of his Primarch. There was nothing to be gained, and everything to be risked by direct confrontation. The greater prize had been seized. 12 freighters destroyed, and another 7 crippled in a single attack run. "Losses not easily replaced," said Lieutenant Shack, standing by the sensor array, sensing Alonai's mood. "Legionaries without ammunition cannot storm Terra."
"True,"
said Alonai. He stared at the dispersing clouds that were all that remained of the obliterated transports.
"Nor can they supply Karandiru. It would have been good to capture one or two, though. We're not without our own supply issues, but that will have to wait for another day." "Just as well we're used to fighting with fists and sticks, eh?"
said Shaq. His tone turned grim. "Give me a company of real warriors over the gang brats of Chthonia. Thought they could take us out and flit off to Terra in glory, did they? We'll make these bastards regret not finishing the job on Istvan."
"We certainly will, Lieutenant. We certainly will."